I'm Dennis Owsley, and that was Two, recorded by the Jimmy Forrest Quartet at the Bolo Club in St. Louis in 1946. Jimmy Forrest is on tenor, Charles Fox on piano, James Royal bass, James Thompson on drums, and Freddie Jackson was the bongo player. And in a sidelight, Puffy was the nickname of Jimmy Forrest's wife. Violinist Stuff Smith recorded two tunes for the Town & Country label in December 1946, and this was the recording debut of bassist Wendell Marshall, Jimmy Blanton's cousin. We're going to cover Wendell Marshall's career in later installments of this documentary. And the music from the Stuff Smith Quartet is Night Falls Again and Up Jumped the Devil, as the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 3, continues on Jazz Unlimited.
Night falls again, daylight has surrendered, my love calls again, but where are you? I can't remember. Darkness again, shadows of the moon start to creep in. Night falls again. I wish that you were here just to love me. Well, I see you in the shadows of the evening. The rose you wore upon your pretty hair, the dress you had, it was so, so becoming. But you're not there or anywhere. So my night falls again. Darkness all around me. My night falls again. I know I'll start to weep when night falls. When I was a little boy, with my little teenage toys, I learned right from wrong. Yes, right from wrong. I went to Sunday school to learn the golden rule. Now, won't you listen to my song? I started out with a lady at 16. She told me cherry red was on the rack. Passionate world betwixt and between. But up jumped the devil and knocked me back. He tried to convoy me on a love tour to a cabin in the hills he called a shack. I listened very silently, but then and there, up jumped the devil and helped me back. Now what is this thing? What is that little thing that they tried to get? And I haven't learned yet.
They pray, they pray, they say that they may even set you down in that old-fashioned way. I know that pears grow on a pear tree, and apples do too, and that's a fact. Now, this is no joke, and it's puzzling me. Why should the devil jump up and hold me back? Joke, cause it's puzzling me. Why should the devil jump up and hold me back?
This is Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley, and this is the St. Louis Jazz History, Part 3. That was two things from the Stuff Smith Quartet recorded in St. Louis in 1946. With Charles Fox on piano, Stuff Smith on violin and vocal, Bill Jennings guitar, and Wendell Marshall bass, kind of an early chamber jazz. Sumner High School graduate Charles Fox played piano professionally since he was age 13. Fox and his good friend Clark Terry and another good friend, Arvell Shaw, all played in the Tom Powell American Legion Post Drum and Bugle Corps, and Fox played the cymbals. Fox worked with Jimmy Forrest and Thomas Starks on alto, Jimmy Blanton and Joe Smith at the Capitol Lounge in the late 1930s. And in 1947, Fox moved to the West Coast in 1947, and there he was recorded with Dexter Gordon, Sonny Chris, and Wardell Gray. He played with Charlie Parker and played in a trio with Charles Mingus and Irving Ashby. And here is Charles Fox, recorded in 1947 with Dexter Gordon on Lullaby in Rhythm, Melba Liston on trombone, Dexter Gordon on tenor, Charles Fox piano, Red Callender bass, and Chuck Thompson on drums. I'm Dennis Owsley, and that was Lullaby and Rhythm with the Dexter Gordon Quartet. And Melba Liston was heard on trombone, Dexter on tenor, Charles Fox piano, Red Callender bass, and Chuck Thompson on drums. And the tune was recorded in 1947 in Los Angeles. Eddie Cleanhead Vinson recorded three tunes in April 1947 with his big band here in St. Louis, and Clark Terry was part of that band on trumpet. This is Luxury Tax Blues.
But I do the best I can. I'm gonna take a little vacation, going from east to west, make a survey of this nation, see who's causing all this mess. No, I don't wanna buy it. I know where I can get it from. But I'll never name the city, 'cause it might start a big stampede.
I'm Dennis Owsley, and that was the Luxury Tax Blues done by the Cleanhead Vincent Orchestra in 1947. Pianist Tommy Dean, who we heard with Eddie Randall, also recorded in late 1947 for the Town & Country label. Here's one called Just Before Day from that session. I'm Dennis Owsley, and this is the Jazz History of St. Louis. That was Just Before Day with a group led by Tommy Dean called Tommy Dean and His St. Louisans, recorded in St. Louis in 1947. Tommy Dean is heard on piano, Gene Easton alto, Chris Woods making his recording debut on clarinet, more about him later in the documentary, Buck Underwood bass, and Pee Wee Jernigan on drums. There was a saxophonist and multi-instrumentalist by the name of Lloyd Smith, and I met him several times. He was born in Lexington, Mississippi, but he moved with his family to St. Louis in 1919. And Lloyd went through all of the St. Louis schools and graduated from Sumner High School. He began taking violin lessons from a St. Louis symphony musician and moved on to saxophone. He also played clarinet, oboe, and French horn, and was trained at Juilliard, the Boston Conservatory, and Roosevelt College. During the 1930s, he played with most all of the major black bands in and out of St. Louis. And here is a recording that has Lloyd Smith and Drewy Bess, Lloyd on alto and Drewy Bess on trombone, with the Earl Hines Orchestra in 1945. It's called Scoops Carries Mary. This is a Jazz History of St. Louis. I'm Dennis Owsley, and we're talking about Lloyd Smith. Lloyd was the alto player in the section on Scoops Carries Mary, and Scoops Carey was the soloist. Drewy Bess was the trombonist, and it was the Earl Hines Orchestra in 1944. Very important thing about Lloyd Smith, he had an after-hours club down on Del Mar called the Musicians Club that ran from 1947 to 1955. According to Lloyd, Everybody who was somebody came and played there. He also operated his own music studio, and he provided instruction for many young St. Louis musicians, including Dwayne and Dwight Bosman, Chad Evans, Gerald DeClue, Butch Thomas, and Hamiet Blewett. And he was also a mentor to Oliver Nelson. Now, St. Louis-born vocalist Velma Middleton began her career singing at local clubs in the 1930s and sang and toured with Louis Armstrong's big band and small groups called the All-Stars from 1942 until her death in Freetown, Sierra Leone, in 1961. Bassist Arvil Shaw was born in St. Louis. He played both bass and tuba in high school and in the Tom Powell American Legion Post Drum and Bugle Corps. After he served in the Navy, he played with the Armstrong Big Band at All-Stars for long periods up until Lewis's death. He toured Europe with Benny Goodman in 1958 and played and recorded with Teddy Wilson and Sidney Bechet, among others. Arvil Shaw continued to work as a freelance musician and tour with various groups until his death. Both Arvil Shaw and Velma Middleton are heard here with Louis Armstrong on Since I Fell for You in 1947 at Symphony Hall in Boston.
Took my love and now you go. Since I fell for you, love brings such misery and pain. I guess I'll never be say, since I fell for you, now it's too sad, it's too bad that I'm in love with you. First you love me, then you snub me, but what can I do? I'm still in love with you. I guess I'll never see the light. I get the blues every night since I fell for you. But what can I do? I I'm still in love with you. Oh, I guess I'll never see the light. I get the blues every night since I fell for you.
That was the Louis Armstrong and his All-Stars doing Since I Fell for You. The vocalist was Velma Middleton, Louis Armstrong on trumpet, and the bassist was St. Louis and Arvel Shaw. 1947 recording at Symphony Hall in Boston. I'm Dennis Owsley. Thanks for being along with me on the Jazz History of St. Louis tonight. Clark Terry also made a V-disc recording in New York in February 1947 with his group, which he called the Section 8s. Now, if you don't know military parlance, a Section 8 is a military term for a discharge because of mental problems. Here is a tune called Phalanges from that recording session. That's in 1947 one with Clark Terry and his Section 8s. Clark Terry on trumpet, Weasel Parker on tenor, Robert Bonky Parker on piano, Singleton Palmer on bass, and Earl Martin on drums. Clark Terry on trumpet, Weasel Parker on tenor, Robert Bonky Parker on piano, Singleton Palmer on bass, and Earl Martin on drums, right out of the George Hudson band. And they did Phalanges as Clark Terry and his Section 8s in 1947. All of the people on that band were St. Louisans. Clark Terry left the Hudson Band in 1947 and joined the Charlie Barnett Band. He and Charlie Barnett were lifelong friends. So here we're going to hear Clark talking about Charlie Barnett and then a 1947 recording with Clark Terry on trumpet of the Charlie Barnett Band doing Blue Lou as the Jazz History of St. Louis Part 3 continues on Jazz Unlimited.
Yeah, Charlie and I, I went with the band that I think it was 46 or 47. I was 1 year with the band, 46 or 47, I think it was. And I think the one album that Charlie made was the Town Hall concert that we played in New York, Town Hall, in 1946 or 47, I'm not sure. And these guys in the band like Jim Nottingham, Jimmy Campbell, and Doc Severinsen, Joe Graves, Porky Corn, Dick Shanahan was the drummer. The bass player was a guy by the name of Don Tosti, who now is retired and lives in the town out there where Charlie Barnett lives, where all the wealthy people live. So I guess he must have made a lot of money writing songs, because I'm sure he didn't make too much out there on the road with us. Don Tosti was his name. And the Wyler brothers, and one scene, one particular time, we had a tenor player who, tenor players in that band, they just more or less played parts, because Charlie took care of all that. And on one particular occasion, one of the alto players, the lead alto player, got sick or couldn't make it or something. And one of the tenor players asked me, "Hey, Charlie, would you mind if I take a crack at that lead book?" So Charlie said, "All right, kid, give it a whirl. Let's see what you can do." And it was his first attempt at playing the alto. And he did it and did a marvelous job, and it turned out to be Bud Schenk. So we saw some interesting things happen in that band. Charlie and I became very good friends, and we are today. Thank you.
listening to the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 3 on Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley. And that was Clark Terry talking about Charlie Barnett. And then we heard him on trumpet with the Charlie Barnett Band on Blue Lou. And that was recorded in 1947. The year 1947 was also the year Miles Davis made his debut as a leader with a quintet, with Charlie Parker on tenor. During that time, he was also in discussions with Gil Evans, Jerry Mulligan, John Lewis, and others. And this eventually led to a small band called the Birth of the Cool Band. And while others have made big contributions to that band, Miles was the one who called the rehearsals, cracked the whip, and got its only club date in 1948 and recording contract with Capitol in 1949. So we're going to hear Milestones. That's the first Milestones, the Miles Davis All-Stars with Charlie Parker on tenor from 1947, and Buddo from the Birth of the Cool Nonet in 1949. Thank you. I'm Dennis Owsley, and we heard a set of two here on Jazz Unlimited's Jazz History of St. Louis. The first one was Milestones with the Miles Davis All-Stars, with Charlie Parker on tenor, recorded in 1947, and then Buddo from the Birth of the Cool Band, recorded in 1949. In St. Louis, and nationally after the war, things were beginning to tighten up. By 1947, an entertainment tax began to cause the decline of the big bands. St. Louis and Missouri laws were passed restricting the operating hours for nightclubs. Dance halls that hired musicians were forced to close. And these factors led to the disbanding of the Jeter Pillars Orchestra in the summer of 1947 and the closing of Club Plantation and Club Riviera that year. Most engagements now were 3 days or less and happened sporadically. These engagements included appearances by nationally known bands such as Woody Herman and Georgie Auld. And it's interesting that you can look at the newspaper advertisements during the years 1947 to 1950. They show very much of a shift in popular taste toward rhythm and blues. There was a club called the West End Waiters Club that had the Bugs Roberts Orchestra, and that continued through the end of the 1940s, and they worked on a weekly basis. The Castle Ballroom also continued to bring in nationally known acts for one-night stands. National jazz acts were increasingly appearing at Kiel Auditorium, now known as the Peabody. Jazz at the Philharmonic appeared yearly, and sometimes twice yearly, at Kiel throughout the end of the 1940s. The Glass Bar opened in 1944 and occasionally had local musicians playing there. The Tommy Dean Band was a favorite, along with rhythm and blues acts through 1950. This is kind of interesting. In 1948, in November, drummer Ben Thigpen brought a group in called his Interracial Combo, and they went into the Glass Bar, and the advertisement shows tenor saxophonist Bob Graff and trumpeter Bob Burton identified as the white musicians in the advertisement. There was also an interesting set of appearances at the Glass Bar during 1948 and early 1949 by the all-female combos led by trumpeter Tiny Davis and tenor saxophonist Vi Burnside. There were also at least a dozen establishments around this time that hired local jazz musicians during the period. In 1948, Clark Terry joined the Count Basie Band. He not only joined the band, but soon Weasel Parker and Singleton Palmer joined the band at his suggestion to Basie. St. Louis and Bob Graff was also brought into the Basie orbit in 1950, but he only served a short time as part of the Count Basie Septet. Later, Clark Terry got Ernie and Jimmy Wilkins into the band. We're going to hear Singleton Palmer talking about how he joined Basie. Then we're going to hear St. Louis Baby, recorded in 1949, with Clark Terry, Singleton Palmer, and Weasel Parker as the vocalists. And at the top of the next hour following the station break, we're going to hear Singleton Palmer talking about leaving Count Basie. As the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 3, continues on Jazz Unlimited.
I was living over on Delmar at that time, and And the phone rang, and I answered, and he called me Singletoe. He said, Singletoe. I said, hi, Terry. He said, fine. He said, how would you like to play with Basie? He was in Basie's band at that time. So he always carried on so much foolishness, you know, and stuff. I said, you kidding, fella? He said, no, I'm not kidding. I said, he said, Basie wants us and needs a bass player. And he said, you get on the train and come on up here. I said, no, don't. He said, I'm not kidding. I mean it. So I got my fill together and got my few clothes I had. And, and I caught the train and went on to New York. And see, I think our first gig was at Royal Roots, I believe. I had one rehearsal before the gig, but his music wasn't too complicated. It was real easy, not easy either, but I fit pretty well in there, and I think, until I did run into some little difficulty. Well, he pulled out an arrangement arranged by George DeVivier. He's a bass player. And I had to go to school on it, you know, because he had stuff all wrote, you know. But other than that, I had a wonderful time with Basie, and he was a good guy to work for, wonderful fella to work for. All the guys in the band were great, you know, to work with. Paul Gonzalez, Sweets Edison, Earl Warren, and let's see, George Matthews on trombone, naturally Freddie Green. Another fellow that used to play with George, Weasel, Willie Parker from here, that played with George. He was in the band, too. But my main man was Freddie Green, because I would watch him and listen. You know, I could keep time well, you know, pretty good, but he was my main man.
In love Louis, little baby. Not Saint Louis, baby. Saint Louis, baby.
I'm Dennis Owsley, and this is the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 3 on Jazz Unlimited. And we heard Singleton Palmer describing how he got to the Count Basie Band, and also St. Louis Baby with Clark Terry, Singleton Palmer, and Weasel Parker. Please stay tuned for the third hour of Jazz Unlimited, which will have Ernie Wilkins telling about how he got to Basie and the arrangement for Every Day I Have the Blues, following the station break.